We do want to honor our teachers today, but more importantly, we want to give honor to God. That's why we're here. But in honoring God, we obey His Word. And that's one of the ways that we show honor and respect to Him. And His Word tells us in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 27 that we are not to withhold honor to whom honor is due if it is within the power of our hands to do it. And so that's why we have set aside this Sunday to pay respect and to honor our teachers for what they are, what they've done, the sacrifices that they have made, and to show respect and honor. You have undertaken a noble task. There are a lot of reasons why people teach, but one of them, I think, is to be Christ-like. Jesus was a teacher, and we'll discuss some things with regard to that. But in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, the Bible says, Paul said, here's what I want you to do, Timothy. I want you to take the message that I have given to you in the presence of many witnesses, and I want you to then convey it to other men that they may be faithful teachers as well. That's what has taken place here in this congregation. I mean, not only through our Bible class program, but through the school that we have here, the School of Preaching, we have had people from literally all over the world come to this congregation to be taught the Word of God, whether it's in the church or in the school side, and then those people have left Carnes and made an impact all over the world. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, and it's humbling, I believe, because God trusted us enough to place the gospel in earthen vessels. He gave us the responsibility, the task. He trusted us enough to say, here, this is the most precious thing in the world. I'm going to put it in your hands, and you make sure everybody hears it. That is humbling, to think that God trusted me with something so valuable. And He's trusted all of us with that. And so it's an honor to be able to speak for God. It's an honor to be able to represent God. It's an honor to be able to say, this is what God said. But it's also very humbling. And it's also a responsibility. James chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says in that passage that we shouldn't just, you know, be jumping up and down, just putting people in the role of teacher, because teachers do have a heavier judgment, a more strict judgment, because they're in a position that influences people so readily. And so there's caution given. If you're going to speak for God, you better be sure that you represent Him accurately, because of the responsibility that you have. So let's talk about teaching just for a little bit. I want to share with you a few thoughts. Number one, and that's what's already on the screen there. God's own son was a teacher. You know, I counted over the weekend how many times Jesus was referred to as a teacher in just the gospel accounts. 47. I may have missed one or two. But at least 47 times somebody called Jesus teacher. And the kind of teacher, we call Him the master teacher. That's the phrase that we usually say. And He was. There was a time when they had some soldiers go to arrest Jesus because of, envy, and they sent them to arrest Him. And when they came back empty-handed, and they said, well, where is He? We sent you to go arrest Him. Where is He? And those soldiers said, we never heard a man speak like Him before. He spoke as one who had authority. I mean, they were taken back by Him. You know, if we can just learn to speak like Jesus, to teach like Jesus, we will have an impact in the lives of people. I don't want to just be a teacher. I want to be a teacher like Jesus. And I'll tell you, Jesus, what made Him so special is that He spoke as one who had authority. He spoke the word of God. He represented God accurately and fairly. And if I want to teach, I want to make sure that what I teach is Bible. I may not have the most charisma of any person in the world, but if I can teach the Bible, I may not have the depth of knowledge that other people have, but if I can open people's eyes to who Jesus was and help them to fall in love with Him and to surrender their life to Him, what more would I want with my life? To be able to help people to go to heaven. Jesus was a teacher. Those 100+ people that stood up, you're like Jesus because of the choice that you made, the sacrifice that you made to be a teacher, and we appreciate you for that. Also, teaching another, and as Tony said, maybe some of you are sitting here and you've not quite taken that jump yet. You've not quite stepped in. We need you. We have 100+ teachers, but we need more. We would love to have more of you say, that's what I want to do. Oh, I may not be ready to do it. I don't want to be given a class, but can you just let me sit in and co-teach or watch and participate in some way? Let us know. Because, again, there is reward in doing this. There's great joy that you'll find through teaching. In 3 John, verse 4, John the Apostle said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I don't know what relationship he sustained to them, if he baptized them. You know, I don't know what exactly is going on, but he had such a connection to them that he considered them, they're my children in the faith. And he said, I have no greater joy than to hear they're walking in truth. There is tremendous joy in being able to teach somebody the truth, and then you see them live it out, and you see them embrace it, and it becomes a part of their belief system, and they're forever linked to Jesus, and nobody can change it. Man, what joy that is. The Bible tells us in Philemon chapter 7, for we have great joy and consolation in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you. Paul said to Philemon, he's writing to Philemon, and he says, the reason you're a Christian is because of me. You wouldn't be where you are. You wouldn't be the person you are right now if it weren't for me. And he said, and that gives me so much joy when I hear the good that you're doing. You're helping other brethren. And knowing that I helped you to become who you are and you're doing this, man, that pleases me. Gives me great joy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 through 20. Look at that passage. Paul says, listen, we glory in, and it is our crown, that you are Christians. What more could we want? In Philippians 4 and verse 1, glory and crown because of their obedience. How much better can it get? Listen, I know that probably all of you had someone teach you the gospel. And we show appreciation. I mean, we feel great gratitude toward those people. But think of it from the teacher's perspective. Imagine how much satisfaction and how much joy that brings him too. You know, some time ago, and I don't know who did it, but my great-great-great-grandfather was taught the gospel of Christ, and he became a gospel preacher. I don't know who taught him, but I'm thankful for the person that did. And because of him and generations that followed that continued to have faith in Jesus, those influences all came to bear on who I am today. I am thankful for that. But think of the person who taught my great-great-great-grandfather. The credit that gets deposited in their account for the good that they did. Philippians chapter 4. Who all in just my family became Christians because somebody taught somebody a long, long time ago? Let me give you what I'm talking about. And this is just a personal anecdote. But it illustrates the kind of joy that you can have by teaching. And you may have your own story, and we could just swap out stories all day long. But you know, when I was in high school, there was a guy on my basketball team. He lived, well, there was my house, then the church building, and then he lived on the other side of the church building. He wasn't a Christian. And we began talking about the Bible, and we'd spend a lot of hours on my breezeway and just bat things around. And we started getting to a point where it's getting a little more direct, not just general trivia stuff. And he began to feel uncomfortable. And so he said, "I'm going to my preacher, and I'm going to have answers to the things that you said." And so I said, "Well, that's fine." And he went to his preacher, and he came to me one day. He was walking home from school, and he held up this pamphlet, and he said, "You see right here? I've got in this notebook everything that answers everything you've been saying. I studied with my preacher, and he gave me this packet of material, and everything, the answers are right here." And I said, "Can we sit down and look at that together?" And he said, "Well, he told me not to let you see it." And I thought, and I said, "John, why would he, you answer this question, why would he not want me to see if that contains the truth?" I left it at that. A few months later, John wanted to become a Christian. And then John decided to become a preacher. And he went to Freed Hardeman. He majored in Bible. John then taught his mom and dad the truth, and they obeyed the gospel. He taught his sisters the truth. They obeyed the gospel. He had an aunt that lived right across the street from us. He taught his aunt and uncle the truth, and they obeyed the gospel. In later this year, in October, Kim and I will be going to San Francisco. I'm going to be preaching at a church there. The preacher there is married to one of John's sisters, a girl who was taught by John, her brother. You know, to know that just because you took the time to have discussions with one person and to see how far-reaching that can be, there's great joy in that. You never know who you'll influence and how much your influence will be on other people if you teach. I do a podcast, you know, and I shared this with you, and I even read part of the letter, but some 12-year-old girl in Kentucky wrote me a letter and said, "I listen to your podcast every night, and I listen to your devotional messages or read your devotional messages every night before I go to bed. I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate that." Can you imagine a 12-year-old girl from Kentucky, you know, sharing that kind of thing? You know, that's not a letter I said, "Oh, well, that's nice," and threw it in the trash can. That's kept somewhere. That's special to me. That's the joy of being a teacher, to be able to impact lives in the way that you have. Also, I want you to understand why you should teach. And it's important to understand this because it's hard. I'm telling you, teaching is hard. There is work involved in study. There's work involved in preparation. And it is not convenient at all. It takes a lot of dedication, a lot of work, a lot of study. But let me tell you what you need to remember when it doesn't seem like it's worth it. When you don't hear compliments, when people don't pat you on the back, when they have no idea how late you stayed up trying to get this lesson ready or how early you got up to finish it off, when they don't appreciate all the rabbits that you chased down different side paths to prepare yourself for potential questions that were never even asked, but you wanted to be ready. There's so many things that you do in preparation to teach, and oftentimes that goes unthanked. And the only time you ever do get feedback is when you make a mistake. Let me share with you this. Colossians 3, verses 23 through 24. The Apostle Paul said to, he was talking about masters and servants, but he said, let me tell you something. Here's how I want you to serve. I want you to serve as unto the Lord. And I want you to serve not as a man pleaser or as an eye pleaser, but as if you were doing it for the Lord. Well, that puts a different, doesn't that put a different slant to everything? Because you see, as a teacher, I can get upset with you all because you don't act the way you're supposed to. You don't do the homework assignment I gave you. You don't read the passage I asked you to read for, to be prepared. There are things that maybe you can do that discourage me and frustrate me and other teachers. And so we say, you know, is this worth it? Let somebody else teach. I'm kind of burnt out. If I realize that what I'm doing is not for you primarily, but for the Lord, I can continue on. What has the Lord ever done to me to make me want to turn and quit? He needs me. He needs you. He told us in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, we are the fullness of Him who fills all in all. He is incomplete in His mission of teaching the world the law, or the lost, the gospel of Christ without His church. He needs someone to step up and teach. How can I tell Him no? How can I be so sensitive that I'll let somebody else cause me to say no to Jesus? I don't ever want that to happen. Job chapter 1 and verse 9 says, will a man fear God for nothing? I mean, if you take everything from Job, you think he'd still be faithful to you? Come on. The only reason he's being faithful to you is because you let good things happen to him. Let the good things go away and let bad things happen, and he won't have anything to do with you. God says, you don't know my servant Job. And I hope he says, you don't know my sons and daughters at Carnes. You can't discourage them. You can't cause them to quit, to give up on me, to say no to me because of this or that that has been said to them or done to them. Those difficult moments will come. Those discouraging times will come. But it's then when you need to go back and read Colossians 3. You're doing this for the Lord, and He needs you. And how can you say no to Him? And one final thought, and then the lesson will be yours. And it's this: your teaching will outlive you. I'm sure that many of you here today were taught the truth in Bible classes growing up by people who are no longer here. And you're here because those truths sunk deep down in your heart. That seed was planted. And you're here because of them and others. They're not here anymore, but you outlive them. What a great thought. Don't you want to make, you know, I'm never going to make a history book. I'm never going to do anything of such great importance that you can, you know, go to, you know, Wikipedia. I started to say open an encyclopedia, but we don't do that anymore, do we? Go to Wikipedia. You're not going to see an entry for Steve Higginbotham. I'm not going to go to the moon, and I'm not going to do anything else of great significance. But I can outlive myself by the message I teach, by sharing the gospel with people, by letting others obey Jesus and live on even after I'm gone. Hebrews chapter 11, Abel was the very first man to die. Of all the billions of people who have lived and died, Abel was the very first one, and we still talk about him. His faith still speaks today. I want to live my life in such a way that when I'm dead and gone, my influence will continue to live on. and I want that influence to be for good. And if you're a teacher, that's exactly what you'll do. I want to share with you, I have done this before, I believe, but I'm a connoisseur of Bibles. Man, I have all sorts of Bibles, and in all sorts of translations, and I always tell Kim I could be doing worse things with, you know, my time and money than buying Bibles, so just deal with it. But we have all these Bibles. My favorite Bible is this one right here. It's too small for me to read, actually. I mean, the print. It's just a New Testament. It is tiny. It was given to me 48 years ago. And I don't know if you can see on that screen or not, if you can read that. But let me read the inscription that is inside of this. This New Testament is being presented to Steve Higginbotham for being the first in his Bible study class to be able to say from memory all 66 books of the Bible. Keep up the good work. God bless you always. Your Bible class teachers, Mrs. Hester Schultz and Miss Sandy Wilson. Do you think that when Hester and Sandy, I was 5 years old, do you think when Hester and Sandy went to the little Bible bookstore across the river there and picked up a bunch of these little kid Bibles, do you think they had any idea that 48 years later I'd be holding up that Bible and reading that inscription that they wrote on the inside? I don't think so. But here it is. That meant so much to me. Man, they're proud of me. They gave me a Bible for learning the books of the Bible. I was so proud, and I was the first one to do it. I beat the smart girl in class, too, you know. That made it even better, you know, because I beat her. And here it is today. Hester Schultz died a decade ago. Sandy's still alive. But they live on through that gift that they made 48 years ago. Let me share something else with you. And I may have shared this with you as well, but I don't know if you can see that very well. But I've got here in fourth grade, I had the coolest teacher in fourth grade. Her name was Miss Ruby, Ruby Wright. And she, you know, she was the lady at church that when you got like old enough where you didn't have to sit with your parents, everybody went and sat with Ruby because she was cool. And so when I got in her class in fourth grade, we had memory verses that we had to learn. Every class had a set of memory verses that we had to learn. And this was the set for that fourth grade year. And she made this chart. And it had a bullseye on it and an arrow. And I thought arrows and bullseyes were cool in fourth grade. And so, you know, she had this up. And every day, you know, we'd come in and we'd quote our verse. And if we said it perfectly, we'd get that arrow right on the bullseye. And if we did, you know, not so well, but we still hit the, you know, she'd move the arrow out a little bit. And I was so proud because I had that thing on the bullseye every week that we were in there. I've still got this piece of paper. I'm really not a hoarder either. I mean, I don't have a bunch of stuff at home, but I do have these two things from my teachers. Ruby has been dead for quite some time as well, but she lives on. And that's all I'm trying to say. Is I know there are times it's hard. I know there are times it's difficult. It's time consuming. It takes a great sacrifice, requires a great sacrifice. But what you're doing, whether you get thanks or not, whether you realize it or not, what you're doing will outlive you. Long after you're dead and gone on to your reward, there will be people here living out their faith, their faith in Jesus, because of you and because of the encouragement that you gave them. May your tribe increase. We need more people to pick up the banner of Christ and say, I want to outlive myself, and this is one way that I plan to do it. You're to be honored for your sacrifice. Listen, those of you who have benefited from these teachers that have stood up, can I give you an assignment? When you go home today, will you write a card? Will you write an email? Will you find somebody? Maybe they don't even live here anymore. Maybe they're somewhere off. Will you find somebody and tell them what they've meant to you? Tell them how much you appreciate them. It'll make all the difference in the world to those people who have made such sacrifices. Parents, do you have children who are taught every single week by people, many of whom don't even have children of their own, but they love your children enough to take the time to teach them? When's the last time you have said thank you? When's the last time you've involved your child in saying thank you? Do something to express your appreciation to your teachers. Without teaching the gospel, the mission stops. I'm glad there's so many people who have picked up that mission here, and I hope that more will as well. If you're here this morning and you're not yet a child of God, you're not yet a part of the family of God, I hope that you'll consider your situation. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." If you've not done that, why don't you make that decision and become a part of God's family and become a part of this particular congregation of God's family? I guarantee you, and I know, and I've said this many times, we take much for granted here. There are people who have come from other places, and when they come here, you don't know how good you have it in view of where we have sometimes come from. It's a great group of people. And if you want to become a member of the church or have never obeyed the gospel, or if you want, you're Christian and you want to become a part of this church family and work under our eldership, talk to us about that. If there's sin in your life, you're a child of God, but you need to make things right and you want to come clean and you want us to know and to pray for you, we'll pray with you if you'll come as we stand together and sing.